Tonight, preparing for the worst. Students in class on a Sunday learning what to do if a shooter comes to school. As teenagers across the country plan walkouts and the White House readies its rollout of new gun plans. New legal action against the fertility clinic where hundreds of frozen eggs and embryos may no longer be viable, leaving patients in limbo. An American company that the president loves to praise now pushing back against his new tariffs, saying they're bad for business. A nerve agent attack on a former Russian spy prompts warnings to the public as authorities try to track down a suspect. And inspiring America, an American war hero makes history for Team USA at the Paralympics.
This is NBC Nightly News with Kate Snow.
Good evening. There is renewed focus tonight on the issue of guns and school safety. Tonight, White House officials are outlining new plans, including fortifying schools. More details on those policy proposals in just a moment. It all comes as students across the country prepare to hold walkouts this week, and many schools are moving forward with their own measures to try and better protect students. We begin tonight with Maya Rodriguez in Lake Mary, Florida.
The student response to the mass shooting at Stoneman Douglas High is changing from commemoration to action. Florida's new gun law signed just 2 days ago, the move championed by survivors as a first step in what many of them think will be a nationwide movement.
It's either we see change or we're going to change our politicians.
A student walkout is scheduled for 10 a.m. on Wednesday across the country. Schools in all 50 states bracing for protests.
No more silence!
And gun violence!
But today, students walked into a school near Orlando to learn how to respond when the next school shooting tragedy happens. For 3 hours, nearly 40 students ran, hid, and as a last resort, fought their way through active shooter response training. Zach Hudson is one of the instructors.
If they understand what their role should be, what they should be doing, you increase their chances of survival.
For Gabriella Matadine, it's a sign of the times, especially after what happened in Parkland.
I was a little scared to go to school the next day because, like, there is also some threats going around and stuff like that.
The course focuses on three basic tactics. How to react when there's an active shooter.
Step one, I want to barricade this door.
How to help those who are shot.
And I tighten as much as possible.
And how to defend yourself.
I'm going to grab that gun.
Including how to disarm a shooter.
Do you think it's wise to teach teenagers to disarm somebody who has a gun on them?
At this point, do we have a choice? I mean, you look at what's going on around us. Do we really have a choice? I believe the answer is no, and everybody here believes the same thing.
For Micah Jones, it's a lesson that might mean the difference between life and death.
I was just scared. I'll try to put myself in their shoes, try to put myself in that position, because if that happened to me, I don't know what I would have done, and that's why I'm glad I'm here to get training.
The instructors today told us that after a mass shooting, they usually see more interest in their training programs like this one, but they say that interest starts to fade over time. Until the next one. Kate.
Maya, thank you. As we mentioned, it's not just schools taking action. This week, we expect the White House to roll out its proposals to keep students safe and what to do about guns in our country. Let's get right to NBC's Kelly O'Donnell in Washington, who has late details on the president's plan to improve school safety and also news about his decision to meet with North Korea's leader. Kelly.
Kate, tonight the White House is beginning to roll out a range of school safety ideas. Aides say the president will support states and lawmakers who will begin to improve law enforcement information sharing for the background check system. But that does not mean expanding those who are included in those checks. They will also begin consideration of asking states to raise gun purchase age requirements for certain weapons. And then what they call hardening schools, requesting funding to make school buildings more difficult to breach. Now, of course, while that is the top priority here at home, the president is also talking about his plan to negotiate with one of the world's most unpredictable leaders.
Selling his diplomatic skills at a Pennsylvania campaign rally, President Trump amped up expectations after agreeing to meet with Kim Jong-un.
I think they want to make peace. I think it's time.
Today, traveling in the Middle East, Defense Secretary Mattis said those talks mean his military planning role takes a back seat.
For those who questioned me about whether it was really diplomatically led, I now rest my case with Exhibit A.
Democrats who say they support dialogue with North Korea now raise concerns about the president as lead diplomat.
I think the questions that we have are about whether
he's equipped to succeed in that diplomacy. He's declaring victory. Nothing has really happened yet.
While in rally mode, the president suggested North Korea is already saying it's ready to end its nuclear program. It has not.
Now they say they want to stop the missiles, they want to denuclearize, they want to do all of these things. And all of these people are like, they can't believe it. It's unbelievable.
Officials say North Korea agreed to cease missile testing. Anything more is on the table.
The denuclearization, complete, verifiable, irreversible denuclearization is a topic for discussion.
Treasury Secretary Mnuchin responds to criticism this plan face-to-face would enhance Kim's stature.
This isn't about elevating anybody. This is about the president has been very clear that he wants to do everything possible to protect America and its allies.
Kelly O'Donnell, NBC News, the White House.
The president of the world's most populated country now has the option to stay in power indefinitely, making him China's most powerful ruler since the country began opening to the world. NBC's Janice Mackey-Frayer has a closer look at what Xi Jinping's power play could mean for China and its place in the world.
The most dramatic political change in China in decades, a vote to scrap term limits for China's president. Put in place in the 1980s, now history. The move clears the way for Xi Jinping to stay in power indefinitely and possibly for life. Of nearly 3,000 ballots, only two voted against the unprecedented move, triggering fears of a return to an era of strongman rule the country has not seen since Mao Zedong.
This is a clear message from Xi Jinping to all within China, don't challenge me, I'm going to be around for a long time.
Across China, there's growing anxiety among those troubled by the limitless power of one man. Xi has overseen a crackdown on lawyers and activists and punished thousands of officials for corruption. Government censors have been in overdrive to smother criticism, erasing social media posts and banning searches for terms like constitution and emigration.
The worry is that a slide to autocratic rule could cause instability here, which could mean a more precarious relationship for the U.S. on big issues like trade and North Korea. Kate?
All right, Janice, thank you. Back in the U.S., early morning storms in the south turned deadly today. Strong winds ripped across eastern Texas, killing at least two people. One person died when that weather system hit a campground, another when a tree came crashing down on a mobile home. Meantime, on the East Coast, for the third time in as many weeks, we're talking about the potential threat from a nor'easter, and that could mean damaging wind, rain, and snow for millions of people. Meteorologist Dylan Dreyer is tracking it all for us.
Good evening, Kate. It's crazy that we're talking about a possibly third nor'easter in less than 2 weeks. The storm will strengthen off the coast of Virginia as we go into Monday night, and Tuesday's the day for New England, where we will see the potential for really heavy snow. The track of the storm still is going to determine just how much snow we're going to get, especially through New England, but it's trending a little farther to the west. So that's why we're upping the snowfall totals a bit, especially out across Cape Cod, also northeastern Massachusetts. We could see over a foot of snow, but you go west westward, back through areas like New York, we will see lesser amounts farther from the center of that storm. Winds will also be an issue, especially as we go into Monday night and Tuesday. We could see gusts up to 40 to 50 miles per hour. Of course, this is only going to make matters worse considering the power outages and the damage we've seen from the last several storms. So we are going to watch this closely as we go into Tuesday. Kate?
All right, Dylan, thanks. Not what anyone around here needs. For the second time in a week, a fertility clinic is now telling its patients that their eggs and embryos might have been damaged after a storage tank failed. The tank at a California clinic now contained thousands of eggs and embryos that were frozen. At this point, they say it's unclear how many of them might have been affected. Meantime, at a clinic in Ohio, where we previously reported on a similar egg storage tank failure, families are now taking legal action against the University Hospital's fertility clinic. A hospital official now says more than 600 families or individuals are affected. Our Morgan Radford has details on that legal action.
All she wanted was a baby.
Just thinking about the possibility of having a kid and then having that taken away from you.
Now, Kate Plants is joining one of two lawsuits being filed against university hospitals in Cleveland after a storage tank in the fertility center malfunctioned, potentially impacting at least 2,100 frozen eggs and embryos. Speaking to Today Show, Plant says she froze her eggs after she got cancer and had a hysterectomy, which left her unable to have a child.
And now our embryos are lost, so it just feels like a whole nother loss.
Cleveland lawyer Tom Merriman says his firm will be filing one of the lawsuits on behalf of several patients tomorrow.
What we can do is hold the hospital accountable so it never happens again.
In response to the lawsuits, the hospital says, "We understand why some people might feel compelled to take this step. Any lawsuits being filed will have no bearing on the independent review being conducted." The staff noticed last week that the temperature had increased in the storage tank filled with liquid nitrogen.
"We are so very, very sorry. We want to do all that we can to support them, and we will stand by to answer questions and address them."
But for families, it's still unclear how many of the eggs are or aren't viable. An emotional unknown facing so many families tonight. Morgan Radford, NBC News, New York.
This week, President Trump plans to head to Missouri, where he'll tour a Boeing facility and talk taxes. But workers at another big company in that state are focused on his tariffs. The president has suggested they're meant to protect American jobs, but some say they could make doing business more difficult. And that includes Harley-Davidson, a company that's become a symbol of American grit and ingenuity. NBC's Garrett Hake reports.
An American icon moving out of Missouri.
Everybody ate and lived and breathed Harley-Davidson, but there's been a lot of loyalty lost.
Facing declining sales, Harley-Davidson says they are consolidating factories, eliminating hundreds of jobs. And tariffs are partially to blame, already in place for Harley's major Asian markets.
How'd y'all find out that this plant was going to be closing?
Walked into a 5 o'clock morning town hall meeting.
No warning.
No warning. It was shock.
2 months ago, the company announced the closure of its Kansas City plant, relocating 450 positions to Pennsylvania and putting 800 people out of work in Missouri. Last year, Harley announced plans to build a new factory in Thailand to circumvent foreign tariffs already in place on American bikes.
Made in America. Harley-Davidson. Made in America.
A year ago, the president called Harley a great American manufacturer that he hopes will add jobs in the U.S. But the new U.S. tariffs will increase steel prices for Harley-Davidson. The company saying in a statement tariffs will drive up costs and would have a significant impact on sales.
What countries are doing is trying to figure out ways to get back at the U.S. for these steel and aluminum tariffs in the ways that are most politically painful possible. So that's why they're looking at these kind of national icon brands like Harley-Davidson.
And European officials have already threatened retaliatory action against imported Harleys, likely hurting sales abroad and the very workers the president vowed to protect.
Do you guys think D.C. gets it with what's going on in places like Kansas City?
No.
No.
No, I believe it's a great headline grabber for politicians, right, to say, oh, yeah, we care and this and that. But when push comes to shove, I mean, it's not affecting them on a daily basis like it is the people in this plant.
American workers losing jobs and losing faith in the heartland. Garrett Hake, NBC News, Kansas City, Missouri.
There are still more questions than answers surrounding a nerve agent attack on a former Russian spy in the UK. And tonight, there are new warnings for the people of the small English town where this unlikely assassination attempt unfolded. NBC's Lucy Kafanoff has the latest.
The investigation into the attempted murder of former Russian spy Sergei Skripal and his daughter Yulia is widening. Tonight, more than 240 witnesses, at least 200 pieces of evidence, police combing through five crime scenes. The sleepy city of Salisbury is an unlikely setting for an international spy mystery.
Nothing goes on in Salisbury. So, no, this is a complete shock to us all.
Never seen anything like it in all my born days.
Today, authorities revealed that traces of a nerve agent were found at the restaurant and pub where Skripal and his daughter spent last Sunday. Surveillance video capturing their last moments before falling ill.
That security video was taken at 3:47 p.m. By 4:15, they were found unconscious on that bench.
They remain in critical condition a week later, but are now listed as stable. The poison, a nerve agent, but where exactly was it administered and how, still unclear. Skripal was a former Russian intelligence officer turned double agent for the British, convicted in Russia in 2006, but released in a spy swap 4 years later. Locals say the city is the perfect place to hide.
This is a sort of quiet backwater they would come to where they would just blend in.
Chemical weapons expert Hamish de Breton Gordon says the use of a nerve agent suggests a state operation. Russia, the prime suspect.
We know that Mr. Putin has his elections next week. He's always very keen to act as the world's statesman. And you could say this is a statement from Putin to say, anybody who opposes us, you know, wherever you are, we'll get you.
The Kremlin rejects any suggestion it was involved. But on state television this week, a thinly veiled warning. The profession of a traitor is one of the most dangerous in the world, adding, don't choose England as a place to live. Britain's response, a vow to bring the perpetrators to justice, whoever they may be. Lucy Kafanov, NBC News, Salisbury, England.
Still ahead tonight, a surprising announcement from one of the world's leading innovators, what Elon Musk says you can expect to see maybe starting in 2019. Well, Tiger Woods may not have won this weekend's golf tournament, but for the first time in years, golfing fans rejoiced at the strong showing by one of the world's most famous players. Woods has been looking for his first victory since 2013, but ultimately tied for second tonight. Billionaire Elon Musk made a surprising announcement today when he stopped by the South by Southwest Festival in Austin. During a Q&A, the SpaceX founder, who wants to eventually put a human colony on Mars, said that his company's Martian spacecraft could be ready for short trips early next year. Musk later joked to the audience that his timetable might be slightly off. SpaceX has a goal of cargo missions to Mars by 2022. We're back in a moment with a special group of dogs that have gone from being rescued to being the rescuers, lending an important skill during disasters on the slopes.
Good girl.
This month marks the height of avalanche season in the American West. Almost 100 skiers and snowmobile riders have been killed in mountain snowslides during the last 5 years. But those numbers could have been higher without highly trained rescue teams to respond to avalanches. NBC's Tammy Leitner headed into the Rockies with a unique rescue team.
The Continental Divide in Colorado, it's breathtaking. But these snow-capped peaks have a danger all their own. Avalanches that can bury anything and anyone in the way. And for those who get trapped in a mountain of snow,
okay, talk,
this
up.
First responder may be their best
Good
hope.
Girl.
Hunter Mortensen rescued Tally 9 years ago from an animal shelter.
Oh,
and now
girl.
The Border Collie mix and other rescue dogs have been trained to make rescues themselves.
One dog can do the same amount of work as 30 trained professional rescuers in half the time.
The dogs from all over the country go through two seasons of intense training and get a refresher course every year.
Oh, good girl.
Avalanches are almost unheard of at ski resorts like Breckenridge, but just beyond that rope, out of bounds, you're at the mercy of Mother Nature, where those buried must be rescued within 20 minutes to survive. Walk me through what's going to happen.
I'm going to bury you in there.
Literally.
Literally.
All right.
So, yeah, you'll be about 5 feet under.
In a demonstration, I get a sense of the urgency.
We've got to find somebody.
Hopefully she comes soon.
Tammy got lost. We got to go find her. Are you ready? Ready, Tally? Let's go search.
To find me, Tally uses her nose.
Let's go find her.
It's thousands of times more powerful than a human's.
Yay, Tally! Good job! Woo-hoo!
But it's not all work for Hunter and Tally. Playtime has a purpose. It's a reward and also strengthens the bond between these partners.
The amazing thing that we ask of all these dogs is a complete trust in us, because we're taking them into scenarios and locations that no normal dog ever goes to or can even imagine.
When man's best friend becomes a trapped skier's best hope. Tammy Leitner, NBC News, Breckenridge, Colorado.
I'm That is NBC Nightly News for a Sunday night. Lester Holt will be in tomorrow. I'm Kate Snow. For all of us at NBC News, have a great night.